As mentioned this morning, we've all gathered to bid a lasting tribute to a wonderful woman, Caroline Rose, 83 years old. I was deeply struck by the profound words of her children, with whom I had an opportunity to talk with earlier this week, to Mark and to Cindy, and I just met Deborah. And I know you all share my feelings of condolences to give to the family with much comfort and solace during this time. But I was struck by the words of praise that they had for their wonderful mother, Caroline, whom, by the way, I did not know. However, when you speak to children, and there was almost a loving competition between them to who could put out the most glorious and praiseworthy words for their daring mother. But it was a loving competition. Each week, in the Jewish tradition, we read from the five books of Moses. We don't read the entire five books of Moses, the entire Torah, every week. That would be almost an impossibility. But we divide it in a 52-week calendar year. So the Torah, the five books of Moses, are divided. We read one portion each week. And at the end of the year, at the end of the Jewish calendar, which is usually in the September-October area, we complete this cycle, and then we start it all over again. Very interestingly, yesterday, the portion that we read deals with one of the most profound precepts in all of the Bible. And I believe that we have 613 commandments. 256 of them, we have, of course, the Ten Commandments, which are paramount, very important. But there's more than 10. There are actually 613 commandments in the five books of Moses. 365 of them are don't do's, and 248 are active. You must do the following. In yesterday's portion, we covered the law about honoring your mother and your father. We read it in the book of Exodus. We read it in the book of Deuteronomy, and in yesterday's portion in the book of Leviticus, it also mentioned it. And few laws, few precepts in our Bible have such an impact on a person's life, both the giver and the receiver, than the law of honoring your mother and your father. Family life is the bedrock on which Jewish and many other societies stand. And it is no wonder that the Bible assigns such importance to the integrity of the family, such that it is for the sake of the stability of society and generational continuity. This law of honoring your parents applies to both male and female, to sons and daughters. And the recipients are both male and female, both fathers and mothers. And it were these words that I heard coming from the mouth of Cindy and Mark, and I'm sure from Deborah if I had spoken to her as well, the praise that they had for their mother. And there is no better praise than the praise you receive from your children. You have lived a life of complete good and a life of integrity when your own children sing your praises. And it's not a given. It's a blessing. Not every human being merits that. But it takes the children, and it takes the parents who raise the children, and it takes the parents honoring their own parents in the eyesight of their children to truly convey this very important precept. Caroline was very devoted to her family and friends. Family was paramount to her. Nothing was more important. She was emotional, sensitive, and a compassionate person. She had a love of life, from what I understand, and a beautiful voice, a beautiful singing voice, something with which is a gift from God. However, if you don't capitalize on it, and I don't mean economically, but if you don't take advantage of it, you will never know the beauty that it has. And so too, with every gift you are given. We all might have gifts, but if we don't realize them and actively engage in them, you lose them. She had the awareness, not only of the kind of personality that she must have had, but her talents, and she shared them, and it was contagious from what I understand. She would make you laugh, she would care about you, and she would be very sensitive to, most of course, to the needs of her family, her children and grandchildren, to which she had great relationships, but also to her close circle of friends and her extended family. Being fun-loving and a person who cared about the people around her. The precept of honoring your parents, this is not intended to be a lesson in honoring your parents, but again, I was so stricken profoundly by the words that they had for their mother, Caroline, that it was hard not to remember this commandment. And you also know it is one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your mother and your father. But it is very unique because it is the only one of the Ten Commandments that there actually states a reward. Not that we do and engage in all of our commandments so that we get a reward, but listen to the words of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother so that you may long endure on the land that the Lord your God is bestowing you, granting long life to those who adhere to this practice. And anybody can tell you that, well, maybe it's a good idea to honor your parents because after all, they took care of you, they brought you up, time now to return the favor. But not true. I mean, that is true, but it's not only true. Because even as a child, you still have to honor your parents. It's not just something that you do out of pity or to pay them back for everything they did. You must do it from day one. And it affects, as I mentioned before, it affects those, the children who engage in it, and the recipients who receive this beautiful honor. And it is clear that this wonderful woman, Caroline Rose, raised children with that value. She didn't do it alone. She had a wonderful husband who preceded her in passing. Billy, Mark Rose, that's what he was known as. That's how he was referred to. And they probably was a competition there too. Which person in that loving couple, Caroline or Billy, which one took care of the other with more attention? They were the love of each other's lives, and it shows in how they raise their family and their children, and that too is contagious, and that too is a blessing from God. I'm going to defer a good part of her history to the children and family members who knew her very well, and at this time I would like to call upon one of her nephews, Nick Friedman, to please come forward and deliver a few words in her memory.
First of all, let me just say it's an honor, and I'm very flattered that my cousin Cindy and Deborah and Mark asked me to speak today. Some of you know me, but most of you do not, so I'll set myself in context for you here. My name is Nick Friedman. I am Caroline's nephew. Her brother, Stan, is my dad, and of course Bob was their other brother. My dad, Stan, moved to New York City, grew up in Seattle, moved to New York City after the war, and that's where I grew up and where my family grew up. So we consider ourselves the Friedman diaspora of the East. as such, we didn't get to have as much time with Caroline as we would have liked over the years. And so I don't have a great, tremendous number of great anecdotes about her, but what I do have is quality. So making up for quantity with some quality. And I'm here today to represent the Friedman Diaspora of the East, my brother Jed, my other brother Josh, and my mother Jean. My father Stan passed away about 9 years ago. So I'm going to speak on their behalf and on my behalf, and talk a little bit. I asked each one of them to talk a little bit about what they remember about Caroline, and I want to share that with you from each one of them. Each little moment they talk about, I think really sort of displays Caroline's qualities, her love, her affection, her love of family, and just her support for all of us. Each little moment that I've described to you kind of personalized the relationship that we had with her. And she just knew sort of how to connect all of us as family, despite the great distance that we lived in. So from my brother Jed, who is a scientist, he remarked how much he loved speaking with Caroline and how much she loved talking with him, because my brother's a diabetes researcher, and Caroline, of course, her husband, Mark, or Mark Billy, as you will have it, had passed away from complications from that. So they always connected on that plane. And the only outstanding question that Caroline asked each time was, when was my brother going to win the Nobel Prize? It's just in? Oh, no. My younger brother, Josh, is a singer and a songwriter and a great musician. And so they bonded over our great Uncle Al, Caroline's Uncle Al, who I don't know if everybody's aware was a great songwriter. His greatest hit of all time is Mère de Dos. And I'm going to sing that for you now. No. I'd be ushered out of here so quickly. They bonded over that, and Caroline had a great story of coming to New York right after high school. She was 18, and she told this story to Josh, my brother, and arriving in New York, and there was Uncle Al holding tickets to 5 different Broadway shows upon her arrival. It made a great impression on her, and there's more to the story that I think they went to the theater, and they went to see My Aunt Charlie with Ray Bolger, and during the great number in that show, once in love with Amy, and where Bolger stopped the show and pointed down to Al Hoffman in the audience and to Caroline and waved to them. And it was such a wonderful moment that they bonded over. Josh also said that they wrote a number of letters to each other in the early 2000s, back and forth. And for some reason, Caroline insisted on spelling Josh's wife's name, who was Julie, as July throughout. And Josh adds, she was the last of the 3 great kidders. And for many of you who know, she was very funny. My dad and Bob, they were all 3 great kidders, just always. Great with a quip and funny. In fact, I can tell you that the last time I was in Seattle 4 years ago, there was a Friedman family reunion, and my family came, including my wife Caroline, who was forever after known as Caroline East, because really there is only one Caroline, at least in Seattle. We came for a reunion, and my 2 children as well. We stayed with Cindy. She was very gracious and put us up. And we, had the run of the house. Very generous of you. We all went out, and then one day in the evening we came back to the house after about 4 or 5 days, walked in the kitchen, and there was Caroline sitting at the breakfast table. She lowered her newspaper, looked up at us, and said, "You people again? I thought you left." Some of the beauty of that story for me is that it has that nice Friedman edge of humor to it, which we greatly appreciated. It did take my children a year of therapy to get over it, but other than that, And now I'd like to actually close by sharing something that my mother wrote, because they had become very close friends over the years, which is really sweet. I like that a great deal. My mother, who's of course married to Stan, Caroline's brother. Caroline, the best sister-in-law a woman could ever have hoped for. Always bubbly, always a welcome visitor from Seattle to New York. Always ready with a joke or a wry comment on what the twins, actually a twin brother, Jed and I, or our younger brother, Josh, might have been up to. She possessed and exercised the funniest sense of humor that I'd ever encountered. It was simply impossible to stay down in the dumps with Caroline near. Were I not so old, I could recall for you many laugh-out-loud stories she had up her sleeve. Too bad. But maybe you can ask Cindy about her mother's chopped liver story. Caroline was one of those women with whom I felt an instant rapport. Now, it's true that I married Stan, her brother, and so maybe she might have been nice to me just because of that. And yet, after Stan was gone, she and I fashioned an enduring friendship, one that I like to feel we both shared. I now live independently in a large retirement community in New Jersey, and am now 91 years old. I keep hoping that at our dinner table one evening, someone a little like Caroline will sit down and join us. But after being here nearly 10 years, today I understand that's unlikely ever to happen. Why? Well, because Caroline was unique. We will not see her like again.
Thank you, Nick. We have two more speakers. The next one will be Jack Menashe, to be followed by her son, Mark.
Most of you know my name is Jack Menashe, a nephew by marriage of Carolyn Friedman Rose. It was an honor to be asked by her family to speak today and give a few memories from the other side of the family. Aunt Carolyn was married to Uncle Mark, the youngest of seven children, who were all born here in Seattle. As a lot of you know, Uncle Mark came from a Sephardic Jewish background, and his parents had come from areas around Istanbul, Turkey. I had the privilege of growing up in the 50s and 60s in a very close-knit family of uncles, aunts, and cousins. Because of these early relationships, as I think back now, how much their personalities, their mentoring, their old stories, getting to know all their old family friends, and a lot of them are here today, that I became friends with as the years go on, all have stayed with me. And now, as I think back, how much all of them, each and every one of them, have helped mold me to apply to my business and as a parent. I remember how enduring all the Jewish holidays were when all the uncles, the aunts, the cousins would get together. And I can still taste all that great, great Jewish food at all of those parties and all of those dinners. My family did not have a car. And I can still remember Uncle Mark and his kids coming over and picking us all up and taking us to his home on Mercer Island, where Aunt Carolyn was preparing a meal. What a joy to cross the bridge as I visit with Aunt Carolyn and family. Boy, did I think all the rich people lived on Mercer Island. More than once, my mom, Bernice, used to tell me what a dark-haired beauty Uncle Mark had married. And that had stayed with me all these years. Another early memory that I have is when Uncle Mark and Aunt Carolyn took my mom and us on a vacation to Penticton, Canada. And it was quite obvious how they learned from their families how great it was that they were a great host and hostesses. And those thoughts, again, have stayed with me all these years. how close those days were. In those days, life was so much simpler. It was all about family, 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 as the rabbi spoke already. I used to look at my uncles and aunts who were so full of love, life, flavor, and I thought back then, as a young boy, that they would all live forever and we could just be focused into those times. Then I would think about all my cousins and think about how blessed we were to live in a close-knit Sephardic family. As I was growing up, life changes, and we all know that life never stays the same. There are medical and personal issues that cause life to change, especially in this family for so many years. As it is today, I've lost my parents, all my uncles and aunts on the Sephardic side, and in the past year, I've lost two aunts that were married to my uncles. So even now, life changes, and these families go through a lot of different situations. As I reminisce about Aunt Carolyn, I think about my early years working, and I would go to the local bank where I did my banking. There I would see both Aunt Carolyn and Aunt Nellie working. We would talk about the early years and all my cousins and all get caught up. As I said before, life changes and everybody has a tendency to drift apart. Again, talking about my cousins, we would all hug and we would talk, and it would seem like life never changed. It was just back in those early days when there was family, everybody was together on the weekends and at dinners, and that really made me emotional. When I think about Aunt Carolyn, I think about how organized and how beautifully she kept a home. All of those skills, as all of you know, came in handy when Uncle Mark got sick. I can still see all those little pill boxes in their condo that were all there in order, and how well she took care of all his medications and all the flowers, and everything in their condo was just immaculate. She was a vast reader of many, many subjects. And I always thought, although we never talked about it because her life was as it was, I thought she would have made a beautiful high school teacher, or maybe even if she would have pursued college, a beautiful college professor, because she had that knack with people. She was always on top of all the situations when it came to Uncle Mark's health. She kept him in line most of the time. But when he tried to sneak candy or sugar, good luck. She had all those doctors and nurses well informed of all his medical issues. But as I remember, beyond all her organizational skills, she and Uncle Mark loved to laugh. That's already been talked about here today. She always got a kick out of life. She was lighthearted and saw humor in almost everything and could make something positive. Even on our last visit a few weeks ago, she smiled and had many laughs and was part of the whole afternoon that I spent at Cindy's house with Mark, and those memories will stay with me forever. Aunt Carolyn and Uncle Mark had beautiful times together in their latter years. I've never seen Uncle Mark so happy, and they loved to travel. Most people know that. Hawaii was one of their favorite spots. They loved the warmth and the beauty of the beaches. But their all-time favorite, as everybody knows, was Europe, especially Italy and France. They would tell me that nothing there could match the cheeses and the pastries, just what Uncle Mark needed, in those travels. I can see them now sitting at a table enjoying all those wonderful foods as they're watching all the people go by. And of course, her last trip to Europe, as I'm almost sure, was her trip with her son Mark. And what a tribute an honor that was for Mark to take his mom, who, as everybody said, the rabbi said, the other nephew said, how devoted she was to her family. Aunt Carolyn's legacy was her family, her husband Mark, her children Debbie, Mark Jr., and Cindy, and not to boost her grandsons, Drew and Peter. She also spoke about her two brothers and how much she respected them, and her sister-in-laws and her nieces and nephews on her side of the family. She also had a special relationship with her son-in-law, Bob. Bob and Cindy built a beautiful apartment for her in their home, where she lived a great number of years. Her latter years in Ballard were very endearing, and they were filled with peace and tranquility. Aunt Carolyn had the love of her grandsons, Drew and Peter, daily, and that's something that will stay with them forever and ever, all those years, and what a tribute. And all I could ever hear whenever she would come over to my place of business was how her grandsons were maturing and their soccer and all those special things. Cindy took care of her mom 24 hours a day for many years. Deborah would travel up from Oregon and sleep downstairs and help Cindy out and take care of her. And Mark always came over often. I know Mark's personality. He brought food and humor when he came to the house. Very few people get this much devotion and honor. What a beautiful legacy. I commend all of you, my cousins, on honoring your mom. May you all be blessed 100-fold. I will close with a verse from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1 and 2, which reflects all of your devotion. Verse 1, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth, for Aunt Carolyn will meet her Maker, the God in heaven and earth. Verse 2, it is better to go to a house of mourning than go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take that to heart. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Thank you, Rabbi Frank Barron. When we went to put this together, I think Steve Cambiotti, who runs this Sephardic Brotherhood, asked me about rabbis, because I think we got our choice. And I had to go with Frank. He's got such a beautiful voice, just a beautiful singing voice. And I love that. And got a gentle soul. So I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank all of you for being here, family and friends. So I can't read with these glasses on. So all of you, thank you for being here to honor North Carolina. The name Fitterwell is a sweet name. I especially like to thank my sisters Deborah and Cindy. I still can't call you Cynthia. I'm gonna stick with Cindy. For the excellent care they gave my mom these past several months to give her comfort and dignity in her home. And Deborah, you driving off every week from Salem, Morgan. What a drag. That drive is not very exciting. I'm glad you came up here. They really took good care of her. I want to thank my brother-in-law, Bob Edwin, for the love and support he gave my mom and sister. He treated my mom like it was his mom, always from the beginning. Thank you to Cousin Nick Friedman for taking the time and effort to fly out here and pay honor and respect to it. So as I look out and see everybody, but mostly the Friedmans and the Roses, I'm reminded of the love those families had for Mom. She loved all of you. This was the foundation of what Mom was built upon. Love, intelligence, warm hearts, and a lot of laughter and humor. Both families had that sense, and it was the core role for Mom. She depended upon family, and they depended upon her. She could hardly wait when there was a wedding, a bar mitzvah, or any other celebration to have the opportunity to see our extended family. The It's Good to Be a Freedman celebration of a few years ago in Seattle added years to her life. The ongoing Rose family reunions, hosted every year by my cousin Leonard Rose and his family, filled her tank for another year. So it was a lot of fun and a lot of fun. Her friends were critical to her being. They meant everything to her. Auntie Jean Angel, Auntie Stella Eskenazi, Marion Eskenazi, Virginia Calvo, just to name a few. I know I'm leaving people out, I'm sorry. And I mean a few. Lee and Margie Angel, Uncle Sam Angel, Uncle Beanie, Kane Eskenazi, Jack Muscatel, they were also important to her, lifelong friends. Her sister-in-laws meant a lot to her, Aunties Jean Friedman and Auntie Miriam Friedman, Nellie Rose Halfen, Auntie Bernice Nash, and her best friend, Auntie Frankie Rose, in front row, where she belongs. Frankie and Mom cherished each other. Thank you, Frankie, for all the love you brought to Mom and the rest of our family all these years. You can finally quit yelling at me for breaking lamps in there. Living room. You have no control over me. For all those I'm forgetting, just come yell at me later. Why stop now? My earliest memories began in the house on Mercer Island. My mom was always there for me, quintessentially the 50s and 60s housewife and homemaker. From helping me build my monster models, to attending all my Cub Scout events while Dad was working, she was there for me with patience and love. Driving me to Hebrew school, Seward Park 3 days a week, she was my chauffeur. And she was the roadie for my band, driving us to gigs at age 14 or 15 when none of us could drive yet. This was a terrible band that I started at age 14. Cindy has since looked in her diary as we rehearsed them, and in her diary says, "My brother's band and their music is driving me crazy." But Mom drove us around. She worked hard, kept us kids fed, clothed, and with a roof over our heads. One of my memories of Mom was begging her to get me into ski school, because all my friends were already skiers, and I wanted to go so badly. I wanted to join. She signed me up and paid for North Mercer Junior High Ski School on Saturdays. I was thrilled. She then gathered Sister Deborah's gear from several years earlier. That'll be down to your head. And I think even Dad's old gear from when Dad and his brothers and all their friends used to ski at Paradise up at Mount Rainier. And so I had all this gear and I went up there. It was these wood skis with no edges, I think they called them cable bindings, leather lace boots. I remember the bamboo poles were about this tall. And these goggles that just, the minute they touched air, they fogged up. And the coat was designed to absorb water right away. So I got up there, and I took my lesson, and everything was tangled and freezing and wet and coming off. And I was miserable. I remember getting a ride home on the ski bus. And I think Mom was at work on the Saturday. And I just laid on the couch and cried. And Mom came home, and in that excited tone that she could have, said, "How was it?" She was really excited for me to do this deal. And I just cried and told her it was miserable. And so by that Monday, she somehow put some money together. And off we went to Sturtevant's in Bellevue. And I got brand new Kneisel Red Star skis, buffer boots, new goggles, and blue aluminum poles that were this high, not that high. So I went up the following week. With the new gear, listened to the instructor. I found the sport I still love today. Mom was the architect for that. Mom sat on the sidelines while Deborah and I flipped out on that special, wondrous Sunday night when Ed Sullivan introduced the Beatles to America. From that point on, Deb and I were full-fledged Beatle maniacs. I can remember, at least me and many of you, Deb, jumping up and down on the couch with tennis rackets, you know, wanting to be the Beatles. I wanted Beatle boots so bad. But Mom's fashion sense said that maybe they wouldn't go well with a 4-foot-tall, 7-year-old Jewish kid's ensemble. I wanted bangs, too, but she wouldn't let me have bangs. So I had to settle for second best. Mom bought tickets for Deb and I to see the Beatles in 1964 at the Seattle Center Coliseum, and the rest is history. Again, Mom was the engineer for yet another milestone in my life. Changed my life. There was a time in life when I wasn't as present in her life. I was out fulfilling my ego and selfishness with career and other indulgences. But I came back, we came back together, and expressed love to one another. She adored the little ones. A grandmother to the umpth degree to Pete and Drew. Isn't that right, guys? If you nod your heads, it's okay. And always asking me about my friends' kids. All the beautiful little cousins and their endeavors, Mom thrived on that. Mom, as you know, and hearing from these guys, had a wonderful singing voice. And for every single birthday of my life, no matter where I was in the world, she'd call me and sing to me, happy birthday. First thing in the morning, the first one, I'll miss that. She had that great sense of humor, especially my humor. I always had her to indulge me with my new material. I'll miss the ongoing opportunity to crack her up. She was my best audience, while many others have suffered my comicalness. One of the greatest joys in my life is having had the opportunity to spend a lot of time in Paris, France. The greater joy was being able to take my mother there and show her the wonders of that great city. She totally fell in love with it. Eyes wide open like a 5-year-old at Disneyland for the first time. She would gasp at its artistic and architectural beauty. She would yell her order to the waiters in restaurants, hoping that louder English would have them understand what she wanted. That was a special time. We'll always have Paris. I will miss our daily check-ins, our weekend visits. She was always excited to hear what I was up to next. Always giggling at my antics and supporting me in my dreams and my endeavors. Today, Mom joins with her brothers Stan and Bob, her parents, Auntie Nell, a list of others, and the love of her life, my father. Bye, Mom. We'll still talk every day.
Thank you, Mark, and to all the speakers, and thank you, Mark, also for your kind words. And I always say it's a sad honor when I have to do these kinds of things, but an honor nonetheless to be able to participate for your family and for the dear memory of your mother, Caroline. I have to tell you in closing that when we spoke earlier in this week and Mark and Cindy told me, you know, let me tell you who her friends were, because I think you probably know them. And then you mentioned all their some of their names today. And I remember thinking, I says, you know, you probably could have just stopped the conversation right there, because once you said, and you named all of her girlfriends and all of her friends with whom she spent her time, that was enough for me to hear, to know the kind of person she was, because you are known by the company you keep. And all those fine women, may they, God grant them continued good health and happiness for many years, but I know virtually all of them that you mentioned, and they must have been a very loving group of friends. So that was also very profound. And Jack, I didn't know if you knew the verse that you quoted. The verses that you quoted from the book of Ecclesiastes are the first verse is actually recited when we Bichar Hashkava, when we make a memorial prayer. Tov Shem Mishem Min Tov Yom Hamavid Yom Yivaledo, that the day of death is greater than the day of birth, and very, very profound words on your part too. And thank you, Nick, as well for your voice. Cindy, would you want to...
Sure.